الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين ما بعد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. My dear respected brothers and elders and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing us to bless us with the second day of Ramadan. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our fasts of yesterday, to make this fast easy for us and a means of acceptance from Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah that He allow us to finish this month of Ramadan with love and joy, and with a deeper connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. So inshallah, we're going to continue our tafsir of Surah Hud, which mashallah, we're up to ayahs numbers 5 to 7. Inshallah, we're going to try to cover that today. I wanted to summarize what we spoke about yesterday, which is the idea then about Surah Hud. And again, the surah starts off with, again, this like an explosion of it just is glamour, right? It's this beauty that the surah starts out with. And it talks about how perfect the Quran is. So the first part that we understood from yesterday is that the Quran is perfected. It is like a castle which no one can penetrate, no one can get into. And so no one's able to produce anything like the Quran, like what Allah has produced, and no one can erase anything from it. It's this impenetrable fortress. Along with that, Allah has taken it upon Himself to explain it and expound it. It's a vault that no one has access to. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself says, since no one can obtain it, it's the king's treasures, the king himself will be the one to give out the treasures from his own side, inshallah ta'ala. And so what we find is that this example of the Quran being perfected is an example for us that our lives are also perfected. The same way every harf, every letter, every sound of the Quran has been preserved, and every single sound and letter has a purpose. Same thing with our lives. Allah ta'ala has designed our lives like that. So we shouldn't look at things that happen in our lives as things that are misfortunate or things that are beyond us. Rather, what we should see in our lives are that these are opportunities from Allah Ta'ala to obtain His happiness and His love. And so we look at a test from Allah and say, Allah Ta'ala is the one who gave me this test, and through Allah I'll find the solution. If the problem came from Him, the solution is with Him as well. And so I know that I can take care of it. He said I can take care of it, so I can. So remember that the way the Quran is designed, it's the same way our lives are designed as well. And so we find these beautiful things. And the main thing that we started off from the beginning when we talked about it yesterday was this is a surah which caused the hairs of the Prophet ﷺ to become gray. And so while we're investigating the surah and we're listening to this tafsir, we want to ask ourselves, what part of the surah, which part of the surah caused the Prophet ﷺ's hair to become gray? And so we'll zoom into these parts, and you're going to see something very deep when we look at it through the lens of the Prophet ﷺ. What parts would sadden him? What parts would grieve him? What things would just be like to a Prophet ﷺ? You know, what would make a Prophet feel so sad or depressed? And we'll see that inshallah when we're looking through the surah about those parts. So just to give a quick benefit, because I noticed this one extra thing I wanted to say yesterday was about this idea of Nadir and Bashir, right? These are the two qualities that the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam described by. He described as a warner, and he's described as someone who gives good news. Nadir is a warner, Bashir is someone who gives good news. So the two Quranic terminologies, Nadir and Bashir, okay? And so there's a beautiful structure here. We're going to look at ayah number 2 and ayah number 3. And I put it in for red and blue and green for you all to see it. I am a warner from him and a bearer of glad tidings. The warner is Nadir, and the bearer of glad tidings is Bashir, right? So you can see that the ayah number 2 continues into ayah number 3. And seek forgiveness from your Lord, and then turn to him in repentance, and he will provide you with wonderful things to enjoy. As you can see, that is a glad tiding. So you see, right after the bearer of glad tidings, Allah Ta'ala immediately mentions the good news, the glad tidings. And then right after that, Allah Ta'ala brings it back to the warning. So, and if you turn away, I fear for you the punishment of a tremendous day. Okay. So what we're understanding here is that the glad tidings are the major part in the middle, and the warnings are slightly around the edges. When a person is designing a message for someone, when you're trying to tell someone about Islam, or you're talking to any of your family members, or if you're giving a bayan, a certain discussion or whatever, you always have to remember that the crux, the essence of what you speak about has to be glad tidings. It has to make people happy and feel good about Islam. If you're just throwing Jahannam at people, throwing rocks and fire at people, you're not going to find anyone to come near Islam. Rather, you're going to find people who are going to throw rocks and get angry at you instead. So the way that the Quran is designed too, you see it very beautifully, that the message, the bulk of it, is that it's a glad tiding and a little bit of warning in the beginning and a little bit of warning at the end. It's very beautifully done. So you see that there in these first two and these two ayat. So anistaghfiru rabbakum thumma tubu ilayh yumatti'kum mata'an hasana. We described this a little bit. I just want to go a little bit more in detail about this. Seek forgiveness from your Lord and then turn to him in repentance. When a person seeks forgiveness from your Lord and then returning and turning to him in repentance, saying, forgive me for my sins, admitting my faults, acknowledging that I'm weak and acknowledging the fact that I make mistakes. People for some reason have a very hard difficulty, especially, you know, we might be even married sometimes. What happens is as a spouse, we don't want to admit that we're the one at the wrong or we're the one at fault. And I think that's one of the most important things, especially as people who are developing and being honest with ourselves. Marriage is a process. Parenting is a process. Being a person who prays is a process. Being a human being is a process. We're all moving and we're developing every single day. And if we keep telling ourselves, I'm a perfect human being, I didn't do anything wrong, you're going to find that we're the ones making the most mistakes. The Quran is telling us, seek forgiveness from your Lord, return to him in repentance. Because why? Because we make mistakes. And if you do so, yumatti'akum mata'an hasana. If you do so, he will provide you with wonderful things to enjoy. He will give you such enjoyment and happiness. Mata' in Arabic is something which is used for irtifa' mumtaddul waqt. It is something which raises the quality of life. So when a person has mata' from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be able to find that the quality of life that they enjoy will be increased. Either in dunya, we talked about it yesterday, that if a person practices deen properly, then Allah will make their dunya easy for them. He'll make their worldly matters easy for them. The things that they wanted in life, Allah will just give it to them. Because why? Because now they'll be thankful to Allah Ta'ala. There's no harm or no worry in giving them these things. And so this will be, of course, for some time. But this is one mata', one way of looking at the increase of quality of life. For a person who's a good Muslim, a person who's living for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, living a life for Allah, you know, you would want things that will make them closer to Allah. So people will find that if they were to turn in repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and connect themselves with him, then they'll find that Allah ta'ala opens ways for them in their life. In other words, they'll find that good friends will come, a good masjid will come. They'll find that they'll get a good spouse that will connect them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If they're really living a life for Allah, you'll see that their entire life will be shaped in a way that they won't forget about Allah ta'ala wherever they go. And so even their work or even in their school, no matter where they might be, Allah ta'ala will make it easy for them. But if you want it, this is the thing. We don't want it. We don't intend it. We're always thinking of ourselves, that we're the special snowflake. I'm the special one in this world, that I'm doing everything right and everything perfect. Acknowledge our faults. Recognize that we make mistakes. That's the beginning of Surah Al-Hud. وَيُؤْتِي كُلَّذِي فَضْلٍ فَضْلًا. And the ayah finishes with this, and then we'll continue inshallah to ayah number 5. He'll bestow his grace unto every noble one. And so we looked at it in one way yesterday, which is that Allah Ta'ala will either give something from his side. So when a person is a noble person, a graceful person, a good person, and so then Allah Ta'ala says, I will give them from my side. Meaning in this world, Allah will give them bonus on top of whatever they're doing. Allah will give them even more than that. Or on the day of judgment, Allah Ta'ala will increase their rewards. And we talked about it yesterday, that the bare minimum is 70 times in Ramadan. That a person who performs one obligatory act in Ramadan gets it multiplied by 70 times. That's the bare minimum. By Allah Ta'ala, he will increase it even further from his side. Similarly, about Laylatul Qadr, we said it yesterday, that people say it's 1,000 months. I'm saying that's the bare minimum. خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ, Allah Ta'ala says. It is better than 1,000 months. So when people are looking for the night of power, they should understand that they're asking for Allah for so many things. And Allah will give things from his side that no one could ever compete with or no one could ever compare with. And so that's one way of looking at it. وَيُؤْتِي كُلَّذِي فَضْلٍ فَضْلًا, another way of looking at it and examining it, which is such a beautiful way, is that sometimes we feel ourselves to be very good people. And I feel, you know, that, and you might vibe with me on this, is that when we do a lot of good things, it seems like no one notices, you know, and it seems like no one appreciates it. And no one really gives us what we deserve. It seems like you do everything in the background, right? You take over everything from the back end. And yet, you know, and everything's functioning well, but no one's saying a thank you. No one's saying a jazakallah. And I tell you, as the imam said, right, sometimes it's so sad that we'll help out so many people. And, you know, I remember I tell people this all the time. I helped out a guy, mashallah. He said, I can't get married and stuff. So I gave him the dua of Musa alayhi salam, you know, Rabbi inni liman zadda ilayhi min khayrin faqeer, whatever. So mashallah, like he got, you know, he left after that. You know, he took my number and everything. I said, just call me if you need anything else. He goes off, subhanAllah. You know, I see him after a couple of years. I think two, three years go by. I said, "Oh, alhamdulillah, how you doing, man? How's your marriage problem going?" He's like, "Yeah, alhamdulillah, I got solved way back. I got a kid now." I'm like, you could have called me and told me that, you know. So this is the thing about the job, is that everyone tells you their problems, but they never tell you when the solution happens, you know. So we're always left wondering if everyone's okay or not, and we're making dua for everyone. And same thing might happen to you, that you do a lot of good stuff in life, and yet no one seems to recognize it. So Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Al-Hud, ayah number 3, وَيُؤْتِي كُلَّ ذِي فَضْلٍ فَضْلًا. Whatever good stuff you used to do, Allah says, whatever you did, whatever you deserve, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to you from my side. So in other words, that no one appreciates good people except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah does. If you do good, you can be guaranteed from Allah's side that He'll appreciate you and He'll give you what you deserve. And may Allah make us people that look at Allah and not look at the people in order to find our happiness and our joy. Then I will continue now, inshallah, to ayah number 5. أَلَا إِنَّهُمْ يَثْنُونَ صُدُورًا لِيَسْتَخْفُوا مِنْ أَلَا حِينَ يَسْتَخْشُونَ ثِيَابَهُمْ يَعْلَمُ مَا يُسِرُّونَ وَمَا يُعْلِنُونَ إِنَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ. It's a beautiful ayah. أَلَا إِنَّهُمْ يَثْنُونَ صُدُورَهُمْ. You see how they turn their chest away? He tells us to look at it. أَلَا. When you hear this in the Quran, أَلَا in the beginning of an ayah or in the middle, wherever it comes, أَلَا is used for pay attention, like someone is snapping their fingers in front of you, saying to focus on what I'm saying now. Ala innahum, that's why it comes off with the hamza, right? You hear the beginning, the alif. Ala innahum yathnuna sudurahum. Focus and look. Don't you see how people are tearing their chest away? Liyastakhfu minh, to hide everything from him. So now the scholars had to ask first and foremost the word thana. Yathnuna sudurahum. It's a beautiful word in Arabic, and I think we should appreciate it. Thana in Arabic literally means to attach something, to connect something with another thing. Okay? To connect something with another thing. The reason why it's called thana, when we start our prayers, right? We say Allahu Akbar and we say thana, right? Subhanakallahumma bihamdika wa tabaraka ismuka ta'ala jadduk. That is called the thana because you're attaching a praise of Allah after a praise of Allah after a praise of Allah, attaching one praise to another. And the Arabic word for two is actually isnani. It's from the same root because you're attaching one to another. Arabic is so deep like that. Yathnuna sudurahum, just to understand and appreciate it. You know, when a person, you probably have this feeling too. You maybe have done this yourself. Is that you saw someone that you didn't really want to see. And you're making dua that, you know you have to give salam to them, but you don't really want to talk to them. So what do? You put on your hood. You start to turn your chest away. You start to look right when they're left, right? And you start to move away. You try to like double up your chest. And you try to squeeze a little bit so that way they don't notice you. You know, you saw them in the end, at the end of the hall. You're like, oh, dang it, man. They're going to see me right now. So what do? يَثْنُونَ صُدُورَهُمْ. You turn your chest away. Try to double up your chest. Try to create more distance. So what did the Quraysh used to do with the Prophet ﷺ? They tried their best whenever they saw the Prophet ﷺ. Imagine this. The rahmatul alameen, the mercy to all of mankind, all of the worlds, the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, such an amazing person, ﷺ, extraordinary person. And imagine this, that on the roads of Mecca, he's walking down the street. And you can imagine the Prophet ﷺ has an amazing fragrance, such an amazing scent, ﷺ. Really, you know, his sweat used to smell like perfume, ﷺ, right? An amazing person, you knew when he was walking down the road. When that Nabi alayhi salallahu alayhi wa sallam would be coming down the road, imagine this, Quraysh would see him and they would immediately turn left or right, try to dodge him, put on their hoods, turn away, pretend like they can't see him, not even try to give him a hi or hello, not even recognize him at all. This is what the Prophet salallahu alayhi wa sallam had to go through. If you're wondering why Surah Hud again, keep this in mind. Why is Surah Hud giving the Prophet salallahu alayhi wa sallam these gray hairs or this feeling of sadness and depression? He's reminded and remembering those times and incidents when the Quraysh used to treat him so rudely and so harshly that their family, their uncles and nephews and cousins to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yet they never even want to see his face anymore. They're turning away from him. So one interpretation is, it's in reference to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about how they tried to turn away from him, that they tried to hide from him, everything about themselves. They don't like to talk to him anymore. They don't like discussing things anymore. You might find that when you start practicing Islam, there are certain people that cut themselves out of your life completely. They just don't want to be with you anymore. They don't like talking things with you anymore because now you're the religious guy. You're the religious girl. You're the girl that wears a hijab. And so because you are someone religious now, no one wants to associate with you. And I'm telling you, if you feel like, man, I'm alone in this world, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has a beautiful message for you too. I went through the same thing, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling you. That everything that you are feeling in life, that people are cutting you off, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam felt like he was the most cut off. And imagine in Mecca, the place where the Kaaba is, where everyone is coming from all over the world to worship Allah ta'ala and whatever, you know, atrocious idols they had at the time. But they used to come there to worship. But no one wants to meet the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they tried their best to turn away from him. This is one way of looking at the ayah. And a deeper way of looking at it is, أَلَا إِنَّمْ يَثْنُونَ صُدُورًا لِيَسْتَخْفُوا مِنْ. Who are they trying to hide from? It looks like from the ayah, if you're looking at it through the Arabic, it looks like they are trying their best to hide themselves from Allah. Certain people in life, and I'll get to it, and it'll become clear when we go down the ayah, certain people in life try their best to turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, trying to cut Allah ta'ala out of their lives. Try to pretend like there's no God, there's no Allah. I'm doing everything on my own. I can get whatever haram things on my own, and there's no God in my life. I just want to cut him out. And so they try their best whenever any religious talk happens. And you could see this in people's faces, you know. We do tarawih, we give like a small little talk every tarawih. And I tell you, man, sometimes the topic you'll bring up, it makes people feel so uncomfortable. Even talking about Allah with certain people becomes so uncomfortable. And so this ayah is kind of referencing that. When people hear about Allah Ta'ala, they try their best to, you know, to turn away. Because they themselves know their sins and their mistakes. So they pretend like there's nothing, they're doing nothing wrong, absolutely nothing wrong. And so this could refer to, again, people who are legitimately people who don't want to connect with deen and Islam. That's one way of looking at it. But in terms of us, Muslims that are trying and practicing, I want us to think about it for ourselves. For Muslims that are trying their best to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's what we're living for. Those people that we ourselves, we're so shy, we're so embarrassed. You know, things happen. What happens? يَسْتَخْفُ مِنْ أَلَّحِينَ يَسْتَخْشُونَ ثِيَابُمْ. Allah ta'ala continues and says, look, even when they cover themselves with their clothes at nighttime, this is, again, a description Allah is giving us. Let's focus on this. When they cover themselves with their clothes, when do people cover themselves with their clothes? At nighttime, people might cover themselves with their clothes. At certain times when, you know, you want to go do something wrong, what do? You cover up a little bit more. If someone is doing something behind the back of their spouse, or someone is doing something behind the back of their community, or someone's doing something really bad and something really haram, and so what do? They try their best to cover themselves up as much as they can. You know, even someone who tries to commit sins within their own household, they'll cover themselves with their blanket where no one sees. People will put on the hoodie and walk out in order, you know, turn their back on their entire family sometimes, just to drink or just to smoke or just to do some drugs, you know, to protect us from all of these things. Allah is capturing what? This is how people sin. Everyone tries to cover up, and they're trying to hide from whom? They try to hide from their families, they try to hide from their friends, they try to hide from this person and that person. They're hiding from everyone. But there's one person that they cannot hide from, one being they cannot hide from. Ala innahum yathnuna sudurum yastakhfu min ala hina yastakhshuna thiyabahum ya'lamu ma yusirruna ma yu'linun. Allah Ta'ala knows what they conceal and Allah knows what they reveal. No matter where we are in life, my dear respected brothers and elders and sisters in Islam, no matter where we are in life, we're going to find that we can never hide from Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. We never can hide from Him. And so we should not try our best to turn away from Him. You know, innahu alimun bi dhati sudur. The ayah ends with, He knows the innermost secrets of the heart. And so when you recognize that, look, Allah knows my inner and my outer, and He knows everything about me, and then you start to watch Allah the same way Allah is watching you. That's what taqwa is. When people say, what does it mean to be a pious person in Islam, a religious person in Islam? It means that every moment of every waking moment of your life, that every moment that you're awake, you know that Allah is watching you. And because of that, you are very careful with whatever you do. However you speak, your dealings, the finances, everything about yourself. Now you're so careful about even what you think about, because you don't want that it will lead you down a bad path. Because Allah is with you in your mind and He's with you in your heart. And by knowing this, and I want everyone to know this, that by knowing that Allah Ta'ala is taking care of you from inside and outside, and He's with you and He knows what you're going through, you have the best guardian ever. The best guardian ever. Because now when my wife doesn't understand what I'm going through, my mother and father don't know what I'm going through, my parents, my brothers, my sisters, no one knows what I'm going through. Allah knows what I'm going through. And you know, if you had to cry to someone, you cry to someone that can help. And so when we need to cry and we have nowhere else to go, at least we know that Allah knows what we're going through. Now you raise your hands in front of Him and you say, "Ya Allah, please, I need some help now." And you'll see that Allah's answer will come. So this is what we need to tell ourselves. And this is why, you know, it's not comfortable, okay? The way Islam tells you, because Islam's a real religion. It's not a fake religion like every other religion in the world, that you can pay a certain amount of money and then you enter into heaven or whatever. Islam is a real religion that's telling everyone to look at themselves in the mirror and tell yourself, I have issues that I need to work on. Tell yourself, I need to improve. Tell yourself, I need to develop. And be honest with yourself. If you do that, inshallah, that you'll find that every day will become better than the rest, and everything will be exposed one day. You have to remember, in this world, Allah will expose us maybe. May Allah protect us from that our sins are never exposed. You know, don't ever make fun of anyone's sins. You have to remember this, that don't make fun of anyone's sins, Because if you make fun of someone's sins, the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ says that perhaps Allah Ta'ala will cure or treat that person that has that disease. And then he will test you with the same exact thing. And I can't tell you how many times in my own life that I mistakenly made fun of someone or mistakenly spoke about someone. And then I found the same thing happened in my life again. May Allah protect us. May Allah save us from that. That we don't have to go through this in this life. And in the hereafter, it will be exposed. So don't hide these things. Rather, what a person should do is, أَنِسْتَغْفِرُ رَبَّكُمْ. If you made a mistake, make tawbah to Allah. Ask Allah for forgiveness. He'll always forgive you. And there's one interesting story that I want to bring here, inshallah, about this one man who tried his best to hide from Allah Ta'ala. His name is Tufail ibn Amr radiallahu anhu. Tufail ibn Amr. Tufail was an amazing person. Who was he? In the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, again in Mecca, it's early, early Meccan stage. So this is when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, again, is not very, very well known. Meaning that as a prophet, people know him as a magician, people know him as a madman, people know him as this and that, you know, all these terrible names. So Tufail was someone who heard all this stuff about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He himself, Tufail, was a noble man. He was a celebrated poet. He was renowned for his great hospitality. He was a great individual. And he had amazing relations with the Quraysh. So the Quraysh, they thought it was their right and the responsibility to tell Tufail, hey, Tufail, you got to worry about this prophet. Okay? They told him that he is someone who is a great magician. He will separate you. Husband and wife will start fighting. Children and parents will start fighting. He will separate you from your entire community. So they started to say a lot of things to him, to the point Tufail got so scared that he tried his best to hide himself, again, you know, turning the chest away, right? To such a degree that he inserted wads of cotton into his ears. So that way he did not have to hear the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even if we were to meet him. They called him Dhul Qutnain, not Dhul Qarnain. Okay, Dhul Qarnain is another guy. Okay, this is Dhul Qutnain. Qutn means cotton. Dhul Qutnain means someone who has cotton, who has cotton in their ears, or someone who has two pieces of cotton on their ears. Okay, Dhul Qutnain. That's what the title they gave him, because he used to walk around with this cotton in his ears, so that way he could not hear the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So then, what happens one day? He sees the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam praying once near the Kaaba. And then, subhanAllah, you know, again, he's trying his best to turn away from Islam, trying his best not to be near the Prophet ﷺ. He sees him praying near the Kaaba. And you can imagine how magnetic, you know, of a personality, how attractive the Prophet ﷺ is. You know, certain people in our lives, we just can't get away from. Allah has given them such charisma and such connection that, you know, we try our best to run away, but we just get connected again. So he is someone, ﷺ, when you see him, you just got to go near him, you know. Imagine that you saw the Prophet ﷺ. You think you don't go near him? So Tufail hears, he sees the Prophet, and he starts to move closer to him. He says it himself in the narration. He says, I moved closer to him, and then I heard some of the words. This is amazing, that he tried his best to clog up his ears so he cannot hear the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He finds that the words went straight through the cotton and went straight into the ears of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I mean, he's straight into the ears of Tufail. So he hears all these things, and he actually likes it. He hears the Quran, he hears the tilawa. So then he goes and says this. He says, I'm an intelligent man. I'm a celebrated poet. I'm really good at poetry. And, you know, it's not going to harm me. If I listen to this guy, I'll be able to tell myself, you know, I will lend my ears to his speech. If his words are pleasant, I will accept them. And if not, I will, you know, I will reject them. He can accept them or reject them, right? So he went to the Prophet ﷺ right after he heard these words. And he asked the Prophet, he said, these were magnificent words that you told me. Can you describe Islam to me? And so Tufail is listening to the Prophet ﷺ describe the message of Islam. And ultimately, you and I know that at the end, Tufail radiallahu anhu accepts Islam. You can't run from Allah. And so our entire life is this. We either are running towards Allah or running away from Allah. And you can imagine that a person's life who runs away from Allah, how difficult it becomes. Allah tells us, look, you come back to me, I'll accept you every single time. And even when you're running away, Allah still says, you know, he still chases after us and tries to bring us back. So become a person who, you know what, just says, you know what, I'm done fighting. Let me turn to Allah. Let me go towards Allah walking, so Allah comes to me running. May Allah make us like that, inshallah ta'ala. So people want to change, yet they say, you know, people say this after listening to this. They're like, man, I wish I could be like Tufail, but I don't have time. I don't have time. I'm in this rat race, you know. Living in America is not easy. I got to pay for this bill and that bill. I got to make money for this and that. So Allah actually answers you himself. I don't need to answer you. The Quran itself answers you. The next ayah says what? The next verse says, وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا وَيَعْلَمُ مُسْتَقَرُهَا مُسْتَوْدَعَهَا كُلٌّ فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. Allah Ta'ala says that there's no creature on earth except its sustenance depends on Allah. Meaning that anything you provided in this world, be it animal, be it a bird, be it insect, be it jinn, be it human being, Everyone depends on Allah Ta'ala for their sustenance. Allah Ta'ala says, you're worried about sustenance? I'm the one who gives it to you in the first place. This ayah is not telling you to break your job. Like, don't be the guy. Don't be that idiot guy. Please don't be that guy. That's like, you know, oh, the Quran said I don't need to work anymore. So, no, I'm going to quit my job. I'm going to go out and I'm going to leave my wife and kid to die. And, you know, don't do that. Please. This ayah is not telling you not to work. Okay? Okay. In reality, it's actually telling the opposite. It says that go and do what you need to do. Do what you need to do in life. Just know the one who's ultimately providing for you is one being. His name is Allah. That if you get anything in life, I told everyone that, mashallah, you got the stimulus check. Mashallah, that was the stimulus check from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not tell yourself, you know, this man Biden gave it to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it to you. Allah is the one who gives us. Allah is the one who provides for us. Everything in this life is a means for his provision. If you were to eat something, Allah made that food a means for you to not feel hungry anymore. At iftar time, you tell yourself, alhamdulillah, you know, you thank Allah for giving you that feeling that, mashallah, you managed to fast, number one. And number two, that Allah gave you food in your stomach. When you drink that water, you thank Allah that he quenched your thirst through this water. It's all through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this ayah is telling you what? That don't obsess over it. Don't become mad over it. There's literally sometimes you can't do anything at all. People want to live that life. You know, they look at the green pastures, they look at the picket fence, they look at the house, and they tell themselves, man, why can't I get that? Why can't I obtain that? Why can't I get that? People tell themselves these things. And so what happens is what? Sometimes in life, we're just not there. We're just not there. The ayah is telling you that don't obsess over these things. Don't kill yourself over these things. Make time for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not my words. It's his words himself. It's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which he says that Allah ta'ala says, O my slave, ya ibadi tafarrag li ibadati, amla sadraka ghinan wa sudda faqrak. Allah Ta'ala says, O my slaves, free yourselves from my worship. I will enrich your heart and I will block your poverty. You will never become poor. When I provide for you, you will never become poor. But you have to do one thing, which is what? Make time for my worship. When people say, I don't have time, I said, no, you have time. You didn't make time. You can make time. You can schedule it in your day. And so the hadith continues. وَإِلَّمْ تَفْعَلْ أَمْلَأْ يَدَيْكَ شُغْلًا وَلَا مَسُدَّ فَقْرَكَ. And so it says, and if you do not, I will fill your hands with work and I will stop your poverty. And people tell me this, that I have too much work to do. I'll say, do you do any ibadah in the day? Because if you were to worship Allah Ta'ala even a little bit in the day, you gave him time in the day, you'll find that Allah will make everything easy for you. You'll never become poor again. You don't have to worry about becoming poor, number one. And number two is that you'll find free time. People say, I don't have time to spend time with my kids. I don't have time to do this or that. Say, just spend a little bit more time worshiping Allah. He's the one who controls your time. You want free time. Nothing is free in life, brother. If you want free time, ask the one who gave you time in the first place. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He'll definitely give you time which is free for you, inshallah. And so we find that this is the concern of a Muslim, especially if you are well off. That we need to make time to worship Allah Ta'ala. And even if you have a short amount of time, inshallah, I think this is a good place that we can just discuss these things, inshallah, and then we'll finish there. There's so much you can do with a short amount of time. I want to show you what you can do with a short amount of time. Number one is 1,000 good deeds a day. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one time asked the Sahaba, his companions, and said, are you unable to earn 1,000 good deeds a day? Someone said, how can we earn 1,000 good deeds a day? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, make 100 tasbih, say subhanallah 100 times, and 1,000 deeds will be recorded for you, or 1,000 sins will be erased. In another narration, it says, 1,000 good deeds will be recorded for you, and 1,000 sins will be erased. By you just sitting down and saying subhanallah, 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 100 times. How long would that take you? Maybe a minute and a half, maybe 2 minutes max. It takes you 2 minutes to do it, and then what do you get? 1,000 good deeds. Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. If I were to tell someone that you can make $1,000 within 2 minutes, who the heck would want to do it? Now this is for your eternal life in the hereafter, that you can get 1,000 good deeds by just sitting down saying subhanallah 100 times. Allahu Akbar. What else do we find? We find another hadith that the Prophet ﷺ comes back to his wife Juwayriya radiallahu anha. And so the Prophet ﷺ left to make fajr. She was praying fajr at her home. So the Prophet, you know, he starts Fajr early morning, right? This is the sunnah of the Prophet to start early morning and finish at the end of Fajr time. It was a very long prayer, right? So the Prophet will start early morning. So he left his wife there. And so, you know, the time of Fajr goes, Ishraq comes in, right? After the sunrise. And he comes in basically mid-morning, right? So you can say basically about 4 hours the Prophet leaves. Juwayriya radiallahu anha, because she's such a devoted Muslimah, She's sitting in her spot, still doing the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 4 hours. Allahu Akbar. So she's making the dhikr. The Prophet says, have you remained in ibadah since I left you? She said, yes, O Prophet of Allah. Nabi sallallahu then said, I have uttered four phrases three times. I have said four things three times after I left you. And if these are to be weighed against what you have recited since the morning, this would outweigh all of it. If you just say these things here, this one line here, Subhanallah bihamdihi, adada khalqihi, wa ridaa nafsihi, wa zinata arshihi, wa midada kalimati. If a person were to just say these four phrases, they will get, these four phrases are greater than 4 hours of worship. You're telling me you don't have time to just say four phrases three times? Allah forgive us. You know, we do, we just don't know. I like to be at the, I'm telling you, I maximize. You know, I know exactly what dhikr to do to maximize my reward, because I know how much time I have. I really, you know, time is very precious. To me, it's the most precious. I'll save, you know, I'll spend more money to save time. I don't really care. Sometimes people get really upset that I do that, but I don't care, because money one day is going to fade anyways. But time is something that's always disappearing. You got to save time. Money can go up and down all the time in life, right? You can get more money. But the thing is that you might not be able to get more time. So this is the thing that the Prophet says, the best thing to save from punishment is, he says, no person can carry out a deed which is more effective in granting him safety from Allah's punishment than the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fact that you remember Allah will save you from the punishment of Allah ta'ala in this life and the hereafter. And finally, the Prophet said, Subhanallah and Alhamdulillah, they fill this what is between the heavens and the earth. That if you just said Alhamdulillah and you thanked Allah ta'ala legitimately from your heart for everything, just say Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah for everything Allah has given me. Forget about it. You know, even the problems. Ya Allah, if you're forgiving my sins through these problems and you're raising my status in Jannah, forget about it. Alhamdulillah. I'm happy, Ya Allah. I'm so happy. Subhanallah. How great are you, Ya Allah? Nothing is deficient from you, Ya Allah. Nothing is weak from you, Ya Allah. Nothing is beyond you, Ya Allah. Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah. You say these two things and you'll feel what is between the heavens and earth in terms of reward. May Allah give us understanding. Spend your days remembering Allah Ta'ala. This is the purpose of our life, that we stay connected to Him. So in these days of Ramadan, remember that you don't have to worry about these things. In Ramadan, you'll find that your risk will increase. Make dua to Allah. Ask Allah, Ya Allah, increase my sustenance, increase my wealth. You know, I like that Muslims are rich. Come on, guys, come on, seriously. I really love the fact that everyone's wealthy, mashallah. Because if you have more to give, you have more time now, you worship more, you know? What do you think? You know, alhamdulillah, it's a good thing to be well off. Mashallah, please. At the same time, though, don't waste your time, though. If you have enough, mashallah, then spend more time worshiping Allah. One day will come. You know, again, I remind myself and everyone here that 2020 was a year where we lost many Muslim brothers and sisters. 2021 is a Ramadan which I don't think I deserved. And I don't think, you know, myself, I wish that I could give this Ramadan to someone who passed away last year. You know, it hurts my heart to think about it. So I got this blessing of Ramadan. Let me spend it in worshiping Allah and doing more zikr, inshallah. We ask Allah that He connect us with Him. Spend our days remembering Him, our nights remembering Him, inshallah ta'ala. May Allah increase us and give us more in this life and the hereafter, inshallah. There's more to come. MashaAllah, we did run out of time, so inshallah we'll continue from there tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala. And please remind other people if they'd like to join as well. You know, mashallah, there's a lot of benefit in this for myself, and I hope you're all benefiting as well. May Allah give us all tawfiq. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Muhammad wa alayhi wa sallam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.